Well, good morning. The title of my talk is The Interactive Effects of Cover Crop and Corn Residue Removal on Soils and Crop Yield in Rain-Fed and Irrigated Systems. So when we remove residues, there are quite a few studies out there, but when we look at soil properties and yields, the effects of crop residue removal are generally not well understood. Cover crops can have some positive effects on soil properties, but effects of on yield, on the crop yield, may be mixed, depending on the planting date, termination date of the cover crops, and climate, other factors. Now, cover crops can have positive effects on those soil properties, especially when lots of biomass is produced, such as when they are terminated late, such as right before planting corn, or planted early. So the questions surrounding this study are, can cover crops planted after crop residue removal offset any negative effects of residue removal on soil properties? And does the use of cover crops after residue removal affect crop yield? And little information is available on the interactive effect of crop residue removal and cover crop interactions. So the objective of this study was to determine the effects of cover crop termination date following residue removal at various rates on plant growth, crop yield, and soil properties in rain-fed and irrigated no-till continuous corn. We had two sites in Nebraska, a rain-fed site located about 10 miles east of Lincoln, and an irrigated site located near Clay Center, Nebraska. Both sites were in no-till continuous corn. We had 5 residue removal treatments, 0, 25, 50, 75, and 100% residue removal at harvest in fall, and 3 cover crop treatments, a no cover crop control, early termination of cover crops, which took place about 30 days prior to planting corn, and late termination of cover crops, which occurred right around corn planting. And the two photos on this slide, the top one is a picture of the cover crops at early termination, and the bottom one is the cover crops at late termination. This is an overhead view of the site near Lincoln. You can see the green areas where the late termination cover crops are present, and then the lighter areas are where there's substantial residue. And then this is the site near Clay Center, Nebraska. It's a little bit earlier in the spring, so the cover crops aren't as visible, but you can still see the lighter areas where substantial residue is present. So I measured corn emergence and growth through counting emerged corn plants at 2 weeks after planting and then again at 4 weeks after planting. Corn height was measured every 2 weeks until June and then monthly until tasseling. I collected soil samples in May for wet aggregate stability, which or water erosion potential, particulate organic matter, and soil organic carbon. Surface soil samples were collected in early June for dry aggregate stability. Soil organic carbon was measured by dry combustion. Particulate organic matter was measured through wet sieving. Wet aggregate stability through the typical wet sieving apparatus. Cover crop biomass was harvested in spring at termination. Corn and stover were harvested in the fall by hand, and residue removal treatments were applied by removing corn residues from select rows. So if we wanted 50% residue removal, we removed residues from every other row and then redistributed the remaining residue. And then cover crops were drilled in the fall after applying the residue removal treatments. So these graphs are looking at the number of emerged plants. The left-hand graph is looking at the effect of cover crops in each site. And so late termination of cover crops did reduce the number of emerged plants relative to the early termination of cover crops, but not compared to the control. At the rain-fed site, the graph on the right, residue removal increased the number of emerged plants. So when we left all the residues on, we saw fewer numbers of emerged plants. When we look at corn height, the top panel is corn height in May, the middle panel is in June, and the bottom panel is in July at tasseling. So when we look at the top panel on the left-hand side, the black bars, we're looking at the rain-fed site and looking at the effect of residue removal on corn height. And when we don't remove residues, we see lower plant height in the rain-fed site, but not in the irrigated site at that time. However, when we look at height in June, the middle panel, again, in the rain-fed site, we see reduced plant height, and we also see reduced plant height without the residue removal in the irrigated site. However, when we look at the plants at tasseling, those effects of residue removal disappear. When we look at cover crop biomass, we find that the black numbers are for the early termination and the red are for late termination. And here we're looking at the combination of residue removal and termination date. Cover crop biomass was greater with late termination. So you're going to be comparing the black numbers with the red numbers. And that is true at both sites. And then the other take-home message from this table is that cover crop biomass was greater with higher rates of residue removal, presumably because you have better seed-to-soil contact at planting, and the plants do not have to compete with the residues to germinate. When we look at grain yield, you'll remember that the early plant growth was impacted by residue. However, that did not translate to grain yield. So we had effect of cover crops in 2015, but not in 2014 and 16. Late termination of cover crops in 2015 reduced the grain yield, and that was by about 7%. However, the interesting thing is that late termination of cover crops did reduce grain yield in the other years, but it was not statistically important. When we look at residue removal, there was no effect of residue removal in the rain-fed site in any of the 3 years. But when we look at the irrigated site, residue removal, the lack of residue removal reduced grain yield in 2015. Now we're going to look at some soil properties. The first one is the geometric mean diameter of dry aggregates. So we're looking at the stability of dry aggregates and how the wind erosion potential of aggregates. So the top panel is looking at residue removal, and we find that 100% residue removal, we reduce the size of our dry aggregates. The bottom panel is looking at the interactive effect of cover crops and residue removal rate in the irrigated site. And again, we see that 100% residue removal reduced the number of dry aggregates. But in general, cover crops did seem to improve the size of aggregates, especially in the 50% residue removal rate. The wind erodible fraction in the top panel, we're looking at the rain-fed site versus the irrigated site and residue removal rate. 100% residue removal, as we would expect, increased the wind erodible fraction. When we look at the effect of cover crops, the late termination of cover crops did not appear to affect the wind erodible fraction compared to the no cover crop treatment. When we look at the wet stability of aggregates, in the rain-fed site, again, as we would expect, 100% residue removal reduced the mean weight diameter of wet aggregates, as shown in the left panel. And then on the right panel, graph B, late termination of cover crops increased the mean weight diameter of aggregates. So our water erosion potential decreased with late termination of cover crops, and increased with 100% residue removal. At the irrigated site, we had an interaction between residue removal and cover crop treatment for mean weight diameter. In general, we saw that, again, 100% removal tended to reduce the mean weight diameter of wet stable aggregates, and cover crops tended to, especially the late termination, tended to increase. Here we are going to be looking at coarse, fine, and total particulate organic matter and soil organic carbon. There's a lot of information in this table, so I'm just going to give you some take-home points for this rain-fed site. Coarse particulate organic matter generally decreased with residue removal, and cover crops increased coarse particulate organic matter just in some instances. It wasn't necessarily consistent across all treatments. Fine particulate organic matter had no effect or was not affected by residue removal or cover crops, and neither was soil organic carbon. When we look at the irrigated site, coarse particulate organic matter generally decreased with the residue removal, and again, cover crops had a somewhat inconsistent effect on coarse palm. Fine palm generally decreased with residue removal and generally increased with cover crops, which is a little bit different from the rain-fed site. And similar to the rain-fed site, soil organic carbon had no effect of residue removal or cover crops. Corn emergence and growth was initially reduced by no residue removal and late termination of cover crops. However, those effects did not translate to yield. Late termination of cover crops had a tendency to reduce corn yield by up to 9%. However, the reduction was generally not statistically different from the no cover crop treatments. Mean weight diameter of soil aggregates decreased with residue removal, but was increased by late termination of cover crops. Soil organic carbon was generally not affected by residue removal or cover crops, and cover crops and residue removal generally had mixed effects on particulate organic matter. And with that, I would like to acknowledge the Nebraska Environmental Trust, which has funded the project, and those who have helped with the project. And I will take any questions. So this was 2016 was the third year of the study. It was started in fall of 2013. So when I was taking the soil property measurements and corn emergence growth and plant height over this year, it was year three of the study.
So 3 years into the study is when you started to measure aggregate stability measures?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Right.
What was the cover crop?
Cereal rye.
Cereal rye.
Thank you.
Thank you.